There we go. Well, it's good to be with you again, and we really thank the Lord for your church and for your prayers and financial support. And this year is going to be 10 years that Loredan and I are back in Italy serving the Lord. And we're very thankful for the opportunity. Italy is not an easy country. It's a very dark country, as the gospel is not known, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it, but God has called Loredan and myself to bring a light in a dark country. Many of you know us, but I'm going to repeat it maybe for people that do not know us. Loredan and I are both dual citizens, so we don't have to have any permits to be there. We are Italians for them. And together we've served the Lord for 40 years in Italy. I mean, I'm going to say together, you know, both of us are combined years of service. And so we realized that when we went, it was going to be a difficult ministry and a difficult country and to work in. But God says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we realize that it's God that has to open hearts, change lives, and we depend on Him. It's not our job to change people. Our job is to be a light. And God is working, and we're thankful for that. A few facts about Italy. Italy has around 60 million people. 98% of people would consider themselves Roman Catholics. Only half of 1% would consider themselves Protestants, but the majority would be mainline denominations that don't preach the gospel anymore, and then the largest group would be charismatic. So the evangelicals, churches like ours, are very few and far between. Think about the fact that there's over 30,000 cities and towns in Italy that have never had a missionary, never had a church, or even a believer live in it. So you can tell how dark the country is. But the Bible says that it is God who works in you, both to do and to work for His good pleasure. And it says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And two things come as our responsibilities. We're supposed to shine as lights, and we shine as lights with the word of life. And we do it in the middle of a crooked and twisted generation, and we're supposed to do it without grumbling or questioning. We're supposed to do it with a good attitude. And we are grateful for this privilege to serve there. Like I said, the main religion in Italy is the Roman Catholic religion, and many people do not have an understanding of the Catholic Church. When people meet me and ask me what I do in Italy, I tell them that I'm a pastor of a church and that I've come from the United States, they look at me in a very strange way. And the first thing they say is, why would you leave the United States to come to Italy? Because they would all rather live here in the States. And so I explain it to them. And then the next question is, so what's the difference between what we believe and what you believe? And basically, the main difference that has ramifications is the fact that we have different bases for what we believe. The Roman Catholic Church says that they base what they believe on tradition, on the church, and on the Bible. And they say that it's a three-pronged stool that cannot stand if you don't have all three. So they don't even say that the Bible is more important than tradition and the church. They're all equal. And at the end of the day, they're not all equal, because nobody knows the Bible. Most Italians would not have a Bible in their home. Most Italians have never read a Bible. They have no clue. You know, if you, they have an idea when you talk about Bible, they say, are you talking about the Gospels? And that's all they know, that there's Gospels, because when they go to Catholic Church, he says, they're reading from the Gospels. So they don't know that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. They have no clue, because they, most Italians have never even held a Bible in their hands. So that shows you how of little importance the Bible is in their life. They have a salvation based on works. This is the Holy Steps. It's just 500 yards from my office. These are, they say, tradition says that these are the steps that Jesus walked on to be tried by Pilate. And the mother of Constantine brought him to Rome, and they built a church around him. And the church teaches that if you go to the to this church and you get on your knees, and they say that there's three spots of blood of Jesus, they've been covered with glass now. And if you kiss those spots and you pray the right prayers on each step, you'll spend 7 years less in purgatory. And you can go in there, and sometimes there's a line all the way out with people waiting to get in and go on their knees. And you can do it for yourself or for somebody else. So you do it again and again. And 2 days a year, you have plenary indulgence. That means that all your sins are forgiven. But the next day when you commit your next sin, you have to start all over again. But Italians are not really practicing Catholics. Only 22% are practicing Catholics. 31% would go to church maybe at Christmas and at Easter or for some special event, and 30% never go. It's interesting that Italians are not worried about church. They're not worried about sin. They're not worried about going to hell. The majority of people don't even believe in hell. It was interesting that our second son, is also a missionary in Rome, and he's starting a church in a different area of Rome. And for some reason, we got invited to go to a dinner, and we didn't know what it was, but it was a way to meet people. And it was to present and talk about doing the movie The Chosen, that program. It's called The Chosen. That's supposed to be a Christian thing. And I ended up sitting beside a bishop of the Catholic Church at the dinner table. And so I turned around to him and I said, do you mind if I ask you some questions? And I just want to understand what you think. And I asked him, I said, so what do you think about sin? And he looks at me and he goes, you know, sin. Who can define sin? I said, okay. And then I said, so there's another question that always comes to my mind. I wanted to ask you, do you believe in hell? I don't know if I, you know, that's, you know, the church traditionally has believed in hell, but, you know, now it doesn't make a difference. So you realize that when the most important people in the church, and he was very high up in the Catholic Church, don't believe in sin, don't believe in hell, it's going to trickle down to the people where they're not interested. So even when you witness to them, sin and what happens after death is really pretty irrelevant. And I was telling Ron as we were walking over, during COVID, Italy was shut down and people were really scared. I met some people that didn't even walk out of their apartment for a year. Somebody brought them food to the door and didn't walk out. They were so scared. But we haven't seen any change or any kind of interest in figuring out what happens after death. They were afraid to die, but their fear was based on the fact that they could not keep on living, not because they were afraid of what was going to happen after death. So like I said, Italy is a difficult country. They say 90% of missionaries go to Italy and quit within 4 years and never go back. And having been born in a missionary family, my dad went to Italy in 1949 and was a missionary in Italy for 74 years. So I grew up in that situation. I think the statistic is right. And we watch that. It continues to happen. People go to Italy excited because it's a great country to live in. You know, the food is good. Weather is good. There's beautiful sights. But ministry is very hard. 2013, Christmas time, our church in Florida sent us there. And this was our commissioning service. And we thank the Lord that they sent us. And so we've been ministering in Italy now for 10 years. Our main ministry is church planting. And in 2017, October 15th, we started our church. God's been very kind to us. It's in the north side of Rome. And this area has over 1 million people that live in that area. Within a 5-mile radius from our church, there's probably 300,000 people. And people that never heard the gospel. There's very few churches in the north side of Rome, and they're mostly all Pentecostal churches. So we're grateful that we can serve there. Like I said, it was our church plant was launched October 15, 2017. So when we go back, we're going to have our 6th anniversary. And we have around 40 people who come regularly, and we are amazed and grateful to the Lord for that. We do the regular things that a church does. We preach the word every week, and we do expository preaching. We have a midweek Bible study. Loredana does a ministry for women, and our church has more women than men, so she works harder than I do. And my job is to train men to evangelize and to do discipleship. God was very kind to us. We had been praying in the last year that God would provide a place for us to meet regularly that would be our place. And so we found a place after looking at many places, and some, when we got to the place of asking them if they would rent it to us, they found out that we were a church. They said no. But this place, these are the two doors of our church, is God has allowed us to be there. It used to be a restaurant. Not only a restaurant that had been closed for a couple of years and nasty dirty. I mean, I was saying that when we walked in, it was, I can't believe the grease on the floor, the grease, you can see the grease on the tile. It was bad. But our people were excited. We went there, and before signing the contract, we prayed that God would bless this new place that we could have, you know, all week, because before we were renting places that we could use only for a couple hours on Sunday. And after much work, the transformation began. We have a little room for Sunday school, and obviously the place where we meet, and then a little corner to meet people and talk to them. And in a good Italian church, you have to have a little kitchen. And Loredana has done a great job in helping getting ready. And it was a lot more work and a lot more expensive than we expected. I see that you guys are doing a renovation, and you start out with a budget, and then you find out that things are worse than they were behind the walls or underneath the ceiling or whatever. And so it was a lot of work. But we had our first service July 2nd, and we're very grateful. The place was almost full, and to our surprise. And we still have a little room, but God is blessing. And we have regular ministries, like I said, Sunday school, counseling, discipleship, midweek Bible study, ladies Bible studies, men's Bible study, and couples meeting. Just two Thursdays ago, we had our first midweek service. And Loredana and I were driving to go to church, and we had never had a service in, during the week in the church. We've, for the last couple of years, we've always had them in our own home. And because all the things that were not done on, during the main service on Sunday were done in our home. And so we were driving there, and we were talking. He says, I wonder how many people are going to be at Bible study. And when we got there, there were 25 people waiting outside. Nobody brought their keys, and they were waiting for me to open the church. And we had our first midweek service, and it was a real blessing. And we had a whole prayer time to pray and dedicate our church and our time to the Lord. Loredana has a group of women that she meets with. It's called Women of the Word. And it's exciting to see these women grow in the Lord and want to learn. And at the same time, it's a lot of work because they know very little about the Bible. And even if they've gone to an evangelical church before ours, they were not really taught well. So Loredana has a big job to do. The group of men is a little bit smaller, as you see. We thank the Lord for these men and ask the Lord to change their life. Loredana is teaching. Remind me what you're teaching. What are you teaching, Loredana? She's going to be going through the Paul's prayers. And I'm going to be teaching on how to study the Bible, because these men don't even have devotions, and you know, they don't have a quiet time in the morning. They really don't even know how to read the Bible. So I'm going to go through teaching them how to study the Bible for themselves. And like I said, we have Sunday school. This is an old picture. We have 7 children. So the majority of our church is made out of adults. But God has been faithful in these 6 years. If you look at the pictures from the left, that's the first place where we met for a couple of years. It was a dance studio. It had mirrors down the sides, and it was very helpful because when you have mirrors down the sides, it looks like there's double the people. So when you're starting out, that's encouraging. And then we were shut down from COVID, and then we met in a hotel. And it was good to meet in the hotel because they had all kinds of regulations that you had to follow. And the hotel cleaned the place for you and sanitized it, did whatever they had to do. And so that was very good to be able to use the hotel. But now God has given us a place to meet. But church is not the building, you know that. The building is where you meet. The people are the church. And we're grateful for what God is doing. We just had on the 9th of September 3 baptisms. And we had the privilege of baptizing 2 men and a woman, Stefano, Nicola, and Veronica. And we're grateful for every transformed life. And what I want to do now is to show you some of the people that come to our church. It's not all of them, but I'll give you a little bit of an idea, flavor of the kind of people that are part of our church. They've been in our church for a couple of years now. And we call them the nonnini. You know what that means? The grandparents. They're all older. Sometimes I tell Redan, I don't tell them, but since I think I have a better chance of doing a funeral as my next service than a wedding. But who knows? God knows. But we are very grateful for all of them. And every one of them is just a blessing from the Lord. Maybe the one that's the most encouraging is Michele, the man in the front. He's 82 years old. He's gone to church in an evangelical church for 30 or 40 years, and he has 5 children. His wife is the lady behind him, but he's never really witnessed to his children. He was very weak believer. And since he's been in our church, God is working in his heart. And now if he has an event in his house, he prays before the meal. He's never done that before. And many times he prepares something that he wants to say. So he'll come to me on Sunday and say, I've written this out. And he has me read it and says, can I say this to them? I say, yes. I'm so encouraged because, you know, an 82-year-old man, I don't want to offend anybody if you're 82, but they don't change that easily. They're pretty stuck in their ways. But God is changing his life. And two of his sons work in the air conditioning, so I use them as the air conditioning guys to fix. And we're hoping that on the 22nd, when we're going to have the inauguration, that they will come. And one of them has already said, you know, we need to sit down and talk. They said, I'm hard. You know, you're not going to change me. So, I don't need to change you. I'm glad to talk to you. But his two of his five children we've gotten to meet. God is blessed. In the last few weeks, we've had around 10 people come to our church. And these are some of the newest that have come. This young girl is going to be living in Rome for the next 5 years. And she's just excited. She called up, she found us on the internet. She called up and said, can I come? And Loredana is going to start discipleship with her and the young lady that got baptized. And so she's going to be meeting with them. This other family, they live only 2 miles from our church. And they've been going to, they're from Colombia. The couple and the two children sitting from them, and then there's a young lady that's not related to them, but she's also from Colombia. They were going to a Peruvian church, and they wanted to go to an Italian church. So they found our church, we've met with them, and they're just excited. They're just excited to live their Christian life and have their children grow in a place where God's word is taught. Our newest addition is Davide and Silvia. We've known them for a long time, and but they were looking for a church. They say that it was a good church, and we're glad to be the good church for them. But Davide and Silvia, they're both very grateful. Davide wrote me a note as I was on the plane. He says, make sure you tell the people in America that we're grateful that we have a church because of their prayers and their financial support. He says, make sure you tell them. So pretend he just told you through me. Like I said, we had the privilege of baptizing these three people. Nicola, you see him on the right, on the left. Nicola has been coming to our church now for around 5 years. He drives 2.5 hours to come to church. And I've told him, I said, there's other evangelical churches. He says, no, I haven't found another church that teaches expositionally the Word of God and that's not charismatic, it's a cessationist, and I want to come to this church. It's interesting, the first time he came, he drove 2.5 hours. We were still in the dance studio, and he arrived 15 minutes late. And so he decided he didn't want to disturb the service. He turned around and went back home. Some people don't care if they arrive late, but he had enough respect to not want to come in. So the next Sunday he came, and he introduced himself, and I started talking to him. And I asked him, I said, what made you look for our church? Why are you here? He says, well, I used to go to a charismatic church. I wasn't saved, I'm still trying to figure out things, but I listened to a conference that was done at Grace Community Church. It's called Strange Fire Conference. It was the Charismatic Gifts. And he says, that now I know that I have to find a church that doesn't believe that the gifts are still for today. And I said, so do you speak English? And he said, no. I said, well, how did you listen to that conference? He says, well, I listened to it in Italian. And I said, well, did you know that I'm the one that's doing the simultaneous translation for that conference? And he goes, oh, I just figured it out. I've been sitting here and listening to you preach, and I've been trying to figure out where I've heard your voice before. So he had been listening for a long time. And he loves the Lord, and he's a real blessing, but 2.5 hours are a long ways. So during the midweeks, all the midweek services, he follows over the internet. And Stefano and Veronica, they're a young couple. They just came a few months ago. And as soon as somebody comes to our church, then we invite them over at our house to get to know them. And we started talking to them, and they weren't married. They weren't engaged, but they were living together. So what do you do? The first time you meet with somebody that tells you they're living together and they're believers. And I said, you guys can't live together. That's not a great way to, you know, keep them in church. You might get offended and go back. And he said, okay. And they said, so how are we going to do it? You know, we don't have other places to live. I said, figure out if you have a relative that can have one of you live with them. And the interesting thing, they had to go tell their parents that they were not going to live together anymore. And the father of Stefano had spent a lot of money to help them have an apartment to live in. So now they have to go to his parents and to her parents and tell them, you know, we're believers, we can't live together. And the interesting thing is that both of their parents are divorced or separated, and now they're living together with somebody without being married. So that doesn't make it easy to tell them, hey, we don't think it's right. And they went home and told them, and so Veronica has been living with her aunt. They can't figure out why they're doing this, but it was a great testimony at baptism. There were around 35 friends of theirs and relatives, unsaved, that listened to their testimonies and the preaching of the Word of God. So God is working. These are a few people that have been with us since the beginning. In fact, we started the church with them. Kaleuni, she's Korean and helps with the music, and he's Italian. She also helps us with the translation, the simultaneous translation. If you want to come on Sunday and visit our church, we will have simultaneous translation for you, and Uni will be probably the one that does it and does a great job. Erki has been working with me for 30 years, and when we started the church, he came to help us, and he plays the piano and helps us. The Tizano family are a great family. They travel an hour to come to our church. Most of our churches is, they all live within 3 to 4 miles from our church, but we have these that come a long ways. They travel an hour to come to our church, and we baptized them 2 years ago, and we're the first church, evangelical church, they've ever attended, and it's great to have them. But we also have friends that are not believers, and Valerio and Roberta come to our couples meetings, but they come every once in a while to church. We've witnessed to them for the last 6 years, and they've listened. They are friendly, excited, but haven't made a decision. Every once in a while, they pop up and they show up in church, but they come to our couples meetings every month. And it was interesting, Valerio told me that he needed a car. So I said, well, I'll introduce you to the dealership where I've bought my cars and my dad bought his cars. And they're a good dealership. So we went together and I let him talk to the owner of the dealership. And I walked away because I wanted them to have privacy while they talked. And I came back after 15, 20 minutes and I walked up and they're not talking about cars. They're talking about the meeting that we have for couples in our home. And he's saying, you have to go there. You have to. It's the best meeting for couples that you could ever think about. You need to go there. It was interesting that he's advertising for us and he's not even a believer. Like I said, our church loves to have fellowship, and we moved the chairs out, and we had, I think this was just a Sunday before we left, that we had a meal together, and we just enjoy our time together. One of the things that we do that's really been used by God is our couples meetings. We do it in our home. I do a Bible study that lasts an hour and a half. And then we have a sit-down dinner, and we have all the wives that have unsaved husbands, their husbands will come to that. They might not come to church, but they're willing to come and listen to the Bible study on what we call joyful marriages, and to spend time with them, and we become friends. And I don't know why they come, really, you know, because the Bible study is a real Bible study. It's not like we're playing around. But maybe they hope their wives are going to become better or whatever. Because the wives are not allowed to come without their husbands. So, but we are very encouraged by that. Like I said, my dad went to Italy in 1949. And this is the statue of St. Francis of Assisi. And in front of that statue is where my dad started the church. He would take us, he had four children, he would take us to around 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoons there, and us four children would sing. We weren't good singers. I mean, it was more like monkeys up there doing their job. But, and then he would preach and then invite people to walk over to the church and that he was trying to start. And that's how his church started. And now the church has elders, and it's my dad is with the Lord, and my mom are with the Lord, but the church goes on, and it's faithful, and it's been faithful for many years. And now we have the privilege of being in Rome with our son Jordan and daughter-in-law Jenny, and they're starting a church in the south side of Rome. So it takes around 35 minutes to get there if there's no traffic, and it can take over an hour if we get there. So we're not stepping on each other's toes. He's starting his church, and they just had their inaugural service two Sundays ago, and they have two couples that are helping that have moved from my dad's church, and they're working together. One of them was an elder in that church, and so they're praying that God will use them. It's going to be hard work. They live in a very, I don't know how to say it, Bronxy area of town, drugs and things, and so it's difficult. But they have two couples they work with, and then the first person that got saved in my church, a young man, the first time I met him, he told me he was an atheist and came to Bible study. He got saved, but he lives 3 minutes away from where Jordan's church is. So he's going to church there. That's a good thing, so he can witness to his friends and relatives. And last Sunday we went to visit because we have our service on Sunday morning and they meet on Sunday night. And so I went there, and they told me that Mateo is going to get baptized. I said, well, don't get baptized while I'm in the States. At least let me come back and see you get baptized. So they're waiting for me to get back. But over the years, one of the wonderful things has been that teams from the States have come to help us do VBS. And I'm throwing it out there. If you ever wanted to come and help us do a VBS, we would love to have it. We've had a few in the past because Jordan was in the pastor in the States at that time, and so he brought his church to help us out. But it's a great occasion for us to meet children and give the gospel to children to do. And church can help us by doing the music, doing crafts, speak in English, and over the years, we've made some great friends and relationship. In fact, we come from Washington, D.C., where we stayed with the lady on the right at their home, and the lady on the left we had dinner with. They both live in Washington, D.C., because that's where Jordan's church was, and they're lasting relationship, and they're great prayer warriors for our ministry there. Beyond the church planting, God has given us some other ministry. One of the latest things that we were able to start is a network of like-minded churches. There's very few churches in Italy, and with other three pastors, we started this network of churches, and it's been a blessing. Last year, we had our first conference. We had around 80 in our first conference, and this year, we had 120 from our churches, the people from our churches. So, you know, when you come from a small church, you don't even know what's going on out there, and it's a great encouragement, and I spoke in the plenary sessions, and Loredana was able to speak to the women, and it's giving her an opportunity also to help these ladies that might not have a ministry to women, and so she sends out the material that she prepares for our women. We're still involved with a couple churches in Sicily. We don't go as often as we did before, but I'm still like an off-site elder for two churches because the pastor's there by himself, so try to be an encouragement to him. And next Sunday, I'm going to be still in the States, and he's going to come from Sicily to preach in my church. So that's exciting to see what the Lord is doing. We still do our monthly newspaper. We have around 1,700 families that receive it all over Italy, and it's a way to reach cities and towns that have no gospel witness. And it's always interesting to find out, to meet people that say, well, I read it all the time, and it's a real great encouragement to me. We've published some books, and we distribute books. Published a devotional in the Psalms. So we try to think of all of Italy, but our main work is in Rome. Keep on praying for us. We need your prayers. We need for you to pray for our encouragement and wisdom. In fact, here are some ways you can pray for us. Pray for the necessary strength for ministry. Sometimes Loredana gets tired. I don't. Now we get tired. We need strength. We need wisdom. We counsel people. Difficult problems. Other pastors call me and ask me, you know, what they should do in their church. So we need a lot of wisdom. Pray for our church, Vita nella Grazia, for unity, for growth, for stability. Pray for some other mature people that can minister alongside with us. We don't really have that now. So Loredana and I have to do all the teaching. Apart, we do have a lady that helps with the Sunday school that Loredana oversees. Pray for wisdom if we need to publish other books. Wisdom to write the newspaper every month. My parents started this newspaper that we send out. It was started in 1957, and it keeps on going every month. And so pray for wisdom and knowing what to write, and for new partners and help in our ministry. I've already told you in the past, how can you remember to pray for us? Well, anytime you eat Italian food. I hope you pray before you eat, because I have a secret for you. If you don't pray, you choke. So you better start praying. So pray before you eat, and if you're eating Italian food, I don't care if I would not consider Italian food, but if it's pizza, pasta, lasagna, pray for Italy. In fact, pray for us even if you're driving and you drive by an Italian restaurant. Even if I don't consider Italian, Olive Garden, Pizza Hut, I don't care. I don't care what it is. Just pray for us as you drive by and remember that there's missionaries in Rome representing you and representing the Lord Jesus Christ as we minister there. You can stay in touch with us. You can sign up for our prayer letter. You can give your email address to Loredana after the service, and we'll be glad to send you the prayer letter. I told a group, I spoke to a group Friday, and when you receive the prayer letter, it looks like bulk mail, and it is bulk mail, but you can respond and answer that, and we get the email. So it's very encouraging for us, if you read that email, to push answer, respond, and say to us, I read it, and I'm praying for you. At least we know what's going on the other side. I don't know how the internet works. Maybe I need to sit down with somebody who can teach me. But, you know, you send 400 letters. What happens out there? Where do they go? How do they get there? And does anybody read them? And it would be very encouraging for us to know. I say, I'm praying for that subject. Doesn't have to be long, but at least we know that you exist and that people are praying for us. So this is my presentation. There's a few minutes left, and I want to give you an opportunity to ask questions if you have questions for Loredana, for me. Life in grace. Or grace life. There's no persecution. Today, nobody cares. And in some smaller towns, when missionaries go, the priest has more power. But in a city like Rome, you know, people can come to our church and nobody would ever know they ever came. So there's no persecution. Sometimes the family will get upset. So I've had occasions where people have had their family be upset in the fact that they were going to the evangelical church or that they made a profession of faith. But in general, no, there's no persecution. Things have changed. When my dad went, there was persecution. In fact, it was much more difficult with the Catholic Church at that time. But today there's no response. People don't care. It's very difficult to talk to people. We talk to them, but they're not worried about sin. They're not worried about hell. They're not worried about, all they care is just to have a comfortable life. I'm sorry? Yeah. No. Simultaneous translation. If we have somebody visit us, and God brought us, for example, God was a real blessing for us. We had two military families for almost a year in our church. And we have a little cabin where there's somebody with earphones, and they translate simultaneously. So I preach in Italian and nobody interrupts. It's wonderful. When Dean will come and preach, I don't know if he knows how to get on a plane to come to Italy. I've known him for a long time and he says he's my friend. I don't know. but when he'll come, we'll probably do side-by-side translation because then we're live on Facebook and on YouTube, so people have to see that. But in general, if you come to Italy, you should plan to be there a Sunday and come to visit us. And I'm still waiting for Felice. I'm calling people out. I'm like a Puritan church today. I'm still waiting for Felice to come and visit us on a Sunday. And he's going to say, okay, I'm waiting. But we'll be glad to translate for you so you can have the Italian flavor and at the same time have translation. You guys came. You were there on Sunday. You're an example for everybody else. And you have simultaneous translation. So, and we'll have you even have the experience of people, the believers coming and giving you the holy kiss. Because in Italy, we are very biblical. God has provided. We are very grateful for that. We have three supporting churches, and you're one of them, and we're very grateful. We have individuals that support us. God has been very kind.
Has the cost of the renovation been covered?
We spent a lot more money than we expected, so we're hoping that maybe some will help us out in some of the extra, but God is providing. Our lease is what they say, 4 plus 4. So 4 years, and then it can be renewed for 4 more years. The owner is very happy. At least she seems to be happy. We cleaned up the place pretty well. And so the first Sunday we met, she wanted to be there, and she didn't want to be there during the service. So she came an hour early with her husband and her daughter, and they sat down and talked to us for an hour. They brought a plant to give to the church. And so maybe they'll come for their inauguration on the 22nd. It'll be in the evening. We'll have our regular service in the morning. Then in the evening, it'll be our 6th anniversary for the church. And I'm going to preach a little bit shorter message, and then we'll have a time of fellowship. Thank you.